Well, it's been a long time since we've got the gang together. There's one of us missing, Jono Bullard. More on that in a moment. But I'm delighted to say, back for a new season. They've signed their 2024-25 podcast contracts, Ken Feast and Dan Green. Hello, lads.
Evening, everyone.
Evening. I don't remember ever seeing any contracts, so that must be one of those unwritten contracts, I think.
I put it under your... I said sign this a few months ago, Ken. You won't remember.
Was that when we were out? We'd had a few beers.
We were watching Ketchup Boys or Indinos or something like that. Yeah. Jono Bullard's a class. He's just got a pet tarantula and he's gone to a class of how to look after his pet tarantula. So Jono will be back next week, I think. But pressing matters for him to...
Well, he's very enthusiastic when it comes to his arachnids, isn't he?
Yeah, Jono, eh? So anyway, Jono will be back next week, probably, because I think I'll be missing because I'll be on GB duty. So I don't think I'll get time. I'll be in Denmark. But we're here to talk about the Panthers and we're talking about the 24-25 season. Ken, we'll come on to you in a minute because you signed your 24-25 DJing contract and that got a good response when that came out this week. But Greener, this is a great time. I've talked to a lot of the guys in interview and off the ice. The guys have been assembling since last week. And obviously, induction day was Sunday. First week of full practice has been this week, although quite a few were on the ice last week. But Greener, as a hockey player, when you assemble, when you get to see old friends, get to see new teammates, guys you've not seen for a while, I mean, fun part's winning, but this is another great part of the season, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's always the best part. I mean, I'm sure, you know, I know if it was like me, that first couple of training sessions take their toll on you, you know, it takes you a few sessions to kind of get back in the groove. But it was the most fun part, you know, showing up, meeting everyone. Like you said, the sort of local guys maybe haven't seen each other for a while. Some of the returning, you know, imports, you know, guys like Hugo and Otto, you haven't seen for 3 or 4 months. So, yeah, you know, meeting everyone, learning about everyone, getting back on the ice and just kind of being back together. It's quite a long summer and, you know, obviously this is what the guys want to be doing. They want to be playing. And I think there's a real buzz around the city and around the team this year. And, you know, Omar and Danny have put together a really exciting squad. And yeah, it looks to me like the guys are they're really ready to go.
We'll come on to the squad in a minute and I'll come to you, Ken, for that. But just one more question on the bonding and the building, Greener. In those first few days, do you often see who's going to be the character? So, for example, when you first met David Ling, did you think, boy, this is going to be a character? Or did he take a bit of time to bed in?
Yeah, I know what you mean. Oh, no, I think he was the character pretty much straight away. But yeah, I think, you know, some guys kind of ease into it and some straight away, as soon as you walk in a room, you know, you can just tell they're going to be the life and soul of the party. But yeah, I think that's the fun bit. You know, you might have heard a few stories about a guy or maybe you've played against them on, you know, for another team in this league. But yeah, guys' characters slowly come out. And I think this first 2 weeks, you just spend so much time with each other, with the media things and, you know, the gym and all the kind of events that you do. So everybody's kind of thrown in together. And yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Ken, I'm excited. And I know you'll be excited. It's a really exciting looking roster that Danny and Omar have put together. The standout is obviously Sam Hurd. That was the big signing, and we talked about that on previous podcasts. But if you look at the pieces of the jigsaw that he's put together, and we'll go into detail on some of them shortly, this is a really, really exciting roster and one that you look from head to toe, goalies, defense, forwards. There's some real strong players in there.
Yeah, I think the standout for me is there's been a definite uptick across the depth of the squad in quality, and you can see that with the resumes of the guys that have been signed. You know, looking at things like the AHL experience, ECHL experience, and just the depth of experience within the squad, and the fact that you've got some players that I really think, you know, to echo probably Danny Stewart's words, you know, we're picking them at the prime points in their careers. They're at that age where they should be on the up. They should be looking at a kind of, you know, using their role within the Panthers as part of the growth of their career. And I think that's really, really exciting. The squad as I say, got, I think it's got a lot more depth. I think we've got, obviously, size, you know, it's going to be a bigger team. Obviously, people said, you know, maybe we've lacked size last year, and I think we've definitely got that this year. I think, as always, the $25 million question is how it all gels out there on the ice, how they create the chemistry, these early moments of bonding. We talk about the team getting together, the team kind of finding their feet. They've been through the inductions. They're all meeting each other for the first time. It's that honeymoon phase as everyone's getting to know one another, and how that squad bonds is going to be really, really important, because they're going to have to go to war with each other. They're going to have to be out there for what is a long, grueling season. As we all know, there's a lot of games. They come thick and fast. And how they gel is so, so important. Because if you look across the league, it's not just Panthers that have had an uptick in quality. You look at the other squads out there, you look at what Glasgow have done, you look at Cardiff, you look at the other... those teams have all invested. I think the standard of this league this year is going to be the highest we've ever seen. It's going to be we're going to see some amazing hockey. And what happens on paper doesn't win anything. It's what happens when they actually get out there on the ice. So I'm very much, whilst I'm excited, I'm like, well, let's just wait and see. Let's get behind them. Best fans in the league, get behind this team and see what they can do.
I'm going to give you guys a heads up. So I'm going to discuss my one that I'm most looking forward to seeing. And I think we can do the obvious, like Sam Herr or British players or some of the imports returning from last year. But I think my question is, which new player are you most looking forward to seeing and why? And I'm going to start, I think, with Cooper Zek, because really interesting. There's a guy here who's coming in and he is only 25 years of age. Yet you look at his resume and he's been involved in NHL organizations. He's been on the cusp and obviously with the Bruins organization and the Chicago Blackhawks when he was part of that trade that with Patrick Kane going to New York. And you look at what he's done. He scored a lot of points when he was a junior player. And then he followed that up really, you know, going into his, you know, I mean, he's junior player. I'm looking at his very early stats. You know, 1 year he scored 69 points in 58 games as a junior. And what I was going on to say is he followed that up when he went to college in Ferris State University, where he was scoring at just under a point a game. And then, of course, he started his professional career. He's played, you know, for a guy so young to have so much experience in the American Hockey League. I mean, as I say, be on the cusp of those NHL teams. And also, which is interesting for me, he's then had that time in Europe. He went to Slovakia last season after having a bit of a loan spell in the pandemic year in Slovakia as a very young player. But last year, he got a good amount of points, 18 points in 32 games. So I'm really excited. And you speak to people within the game and they talk about what a talented player this young man is, 25, which seems crazy for all the experience. So I'm going to go with Cooper Zek. He's going to be my one to watch and the one that I'm really excited about seeing. I'll come to you next, Greener. You know, what are your thoughts? You can touch on Cooper Zek if you want, or, you know, maybe more ideally, give me another name that you've kind of, you know, your eye when we've signed them, you know, have taken your fancy, as it were.
Yeah, I think obviously Cooper definitely is one, you know, like you said, just being such a young guy, playing such a high level again, you know, in years gone by, we might have been getting him at, you know, 31, 32,
great point.
You know, whereas obviously now getting him at that age, like you said, he's potentially not even at his prime yet. So I think, you know, speaking to Omar, I think he sees him as how our kind of, you know, ace in the deck, especially on the back end. You know, he, you know, raves about his skating, his speed. I think he's going to be, and again, something we probably missed last year, that sort of really smooth skating offensive defenseman. Obviously, for me, I'm kind of biased with the goalies. So I think, you know, Ryan, you know, Bednard's going to be a huge one. You know, I've met him a couple of times and he's huge in stature. You know, he's a really big guy. You know, obviously, again, played at a good level. Got really good numbers in the East Coast last year. I was talking to him a bit about, you know, playing for Andrew Lord, who's obviously, you know, really well known in this league. And he said he loved playing for him and, you know, he did really well in Greenville. So I just, his kind of demeanor, he seems like that kind of guy. And, you know, I'm sure obviously both goalies are gonna get their fair share of minutes and they'll kind of have their rivalry. But I think that's another thing. You know, the two goalies looking very similar on paper. I'm really interested to see how that plays out if they, you know, split time, if one of them kind of gets the ball and runs with it, as they say. But no, I think just seeing his size, seeing him on the ice, I think he'll be definitely one of the best in the league.
Come on then, Kenneth, what about you? Where's your one to watch of the new guys?
Yeah, so my one to watch, I think, and the one that kind of, other than obviously the obvious ones and Sam Hare's return and all of that, the one that kind of caught my eye was Kontos. To kind of, as one sort of thing, actually this guy's played, his experience, you know, got the age behind him, got the experience behind him, played in that second top flight in Sweden, which you don't do unless you've got really good skating ability. And you know, he's been played in Slovakia, played all over Europe, putting the points up. And for me, I think he's the one that I sort of think, okay, I'm interested, you know, interested as to how he fits in. And I think he could be a bit of a surprise package, one of those ones that's sort of a bit of a sleeper that you sort of go, you know, could be a really, really impactful player for us. So yeah, I would say that's my one to watch is Christoph Kontos.
Yeah, you both make really good points. Kontos, absolutely. I mean, he didn't just like score a few points. I mean, obviously when he was in the Hockey Etan, he ripped that apart. But then, as you say, when he went up to the second league, he's still scoring at nearly a point a game. He's basically scored around a point a game or even better for most of his career. I'd be fascinated to see how the lines will work out. And I think that's a good point, isn't it, Greener? That there really is depth, because, you know, you talk about these imports coming in and how talented they are. But then you've got some British players. You look at Ollie Betteridge, who has shown that he knows, you know, last year was interrupted by injury, but you just feel that Ollie is on the cusp of becoming someone that can score regularly. Logan Nielsen, we saw before he got his injury last season, that amazing run that he went on where he was scoring every week. Jordan Kelsall shows how adept he is moving up and down the lines and also on defence, and scored some of the, you know, contenders for goal of the season last season. So with the depth of the British forwards, Greener, and defence with Josh Tetlow, and with what the pieces that Danny Stewart and Omar Pasha have put together, there really is depth in this lineup, isn't there?
Yeah, and I think that was one thing last year we obviously struggled with, when, you know, when that top line, obviously the guys we've re-signed, you know, weren't scoring, we obviously struggled a little bit. You know, if they had a bit of an off night, there wasn't really too much behind them. But yeah, it, you know, I've kind of seen some of the lines obviously at practice, and just like the names on the board, and you almost think you could just throw any of those forward lines out and you've got three top players that can all score, produce points at any point. Guys like Cooper Zek, Spencer on the back end. But like you said, the kind of, you know, British trained players, you would think, you know, Logan Nielsen will get a bit of a bigger opportunity this year. Hopefully Ollie bouncing back after a bit of a, you know, injury, not shortened season, but, you know, obviously missed some games. And yeah, it just looks like there's a lot of depth, there's a lot of scoring. And, you know, whether you've got forward one or two on the ice or 11 or 12, they're going to be capable of putting up some points. So, very exciting time.
And I know we touched on it probably on a podcast in pre-season, in mid-season, but it really is great, isn't it, to be looking at these new players and looking at their resumes. But for the first time in a long time, not only have we, you know, what basically Danny and Omar have managed to do is bring back, you know, if you asked every Panthers fan, which three import forwards do you want back next season? I'm pretty adamant that 99% would have said Henbrandt, Niemann and Hugo Waugh. And then if you then went, and which player from our past decade, or, you know, a bit under past decade, you know, from the last 6 or 7 years, would you want us to bring back? They'd go Sam Hare. So, you know, that continuity and the fact that with it, the club have managed to bring back these standout players is massive, isn't it?
Yeah, and, you know, there's been a lot of work that's gone into persuading those players to come. There's things like the deal that's been done with Trent University Business School, Nottingham focused. That's been instrumental. I know on some of the deals that have been done, that's been a real key part of bringing certain players in as part of the package. And I think that's been a game changer for us. So the work that's gone into that, the off-ice side of that and structuring those has been really crucial. But I think the thing that stands out for me and in my conversations with Omar and kind of as a, you just get the sense that Danny Stewart and Omar Pasha are both completely aligned in terms of what is required in this league and what works. There's not that tension that, we're not experimenting with, well, maybe we try this, or there's a different view from another league, or, and that's no disrespect to any of the coaches that have gone before, but I think there's a real alignment and harmony between Danny and Omar in terms of what they want a Panthers squad to look like in size, depth, skill, ability, what it takes to play the volume of games in the time period. I just get the sense that from the CEO to the coach, they're on the same page.
Yeah, I think you're right. And, I've been in the dressing room and for camp every day this week. And Omar's been in there with, in the office with Danny Stewart and with Linton as well. And you see the rapport they have. And only the other today I walked in and Danny was on the, sorry, Omar was on the phone to Danny. And, as you make the good point, Ken, not only are they on the same page with what they want from the league, but, and what they want from, the team being in the league, but also they are very much on the same page together on a human level as well, which is massive. And that's really evident from their early sort of conversations. And that was evident as well publicly when obviously we had that Q&A with both of them earlier on in the season. So that's a massive point and a really good one you make there. Just a few points to end, guys. Greener, it'd be no surprise to anyone that one of my favourite announcements was the two-way deals, Bradley Baring and Ben Brown, of course, coming to the Panthers for next season, as well as Ollie Endicott. How much they'll be here and play? I mean, if everyone's fit, they won't play very often. If there's players injured and they're able to come because of their two-way commitments allow, we might see a bit of them. They have been training already with the club. But that is really great to see. I hear, separately great things about them. I've seen them play for the GB juniors, from afar. Seen a couple of them play actually in person. But that's great because obviously if we can develop them and maybe in time one of them becomes a full-time member, that's fantastic.
Yeah, I think, you need that for the future of our team, for the future of the league, for the future of GB ice hockey. You need to start getting these kids in. And like you said, obviously, you're probably not going to see too much of them this year. But, they'll practice with us. I'm sure they're going to be playing in the exhibition games. There'll be times with injuries and stuff that I'm sure they'll get some ice time. And it could be something, it's a 2 or 3 year project, but they're young kids, they're good players. That's where the Ollie Bettridge to Josh Tetlow came from originally. You have to start getting these kids, because it's not just about being on the ice. It's learning how to be a professional. If they're around Sam Hare every week for the rest of the year and guys like the Contos and things, they're going to pick things up and they're going to train with the guys. It's going to improve them. Obviously, as many bodies as you can add over the season's great. Hopefully we can keep hold of them for a few years. And, if we're doing this podcast in 2 or 3 years, maybe they'll be, stars of the future.
Ken, we're excited by this team, but I think we're under no illusions that this league is probably tougher than last year's league on paper. Sheffield walks everything. On paper, you probably think that they have retained their core and they've improved where they feel they need improving. So that's a scary thought. Cardiff and Belfast, again, on paper, look better. Core has built a good-looking team in Glasgow. This league is going to be tougher. There's no reason to suggest that Panthers won't be up there, but it is going to be tough.
Yeah, and I think it is going to be tough. I think it's going to be very, very, very competitive. But as we said before, what's on paper almost you have to throw the form guide out the window sometimes and go, a great team is always going to be better than the sum of its parts. Mm. And, you know, if you think of, you know, just because you kind of, you know, it's not as simple, if it was as simple as just adding up the number of goals in a side or adding up the number of, you know, assists or points over a season, or, you know, how it'd be, you know, it's not the case. It's not that simple. You need players that are going to put the points up, but you need the players that are going to link everything together, and you need a harmonious team. It will be really, really interesting to see what happens. And I am excited. You know, I'll always be optimistic. I'll always be excited. And if you've got players like Sam Hare, who will add to that culture of what it means to be a Panther, what it means to the fans when they win at home, and what the energy can be like in that building. That's infectious to the other players. That's what's luring them to the Panthers. So then we've just got to bring the energy. The fans will bring 150%. And if that filters through to some talented players that gel as a squad, then there's every possibility we could do something great this year. And that's what I'm excited about. But until that first puck drops on that first proper game, you know, we've got the preseason coming up, which will be great. But, you know, they are warm-up games for what it's all about, which is the proper season. And that's going to be really, really exciting.
We'll talk about fans and noise and some things we've announced in the past 48 hours, Ken. Before we get on to that, I just want to push you, Greener, really a bit that what Ken and I mentioned. You know, you, I know, take notice of how the teams are building their rosters. It is going to be hard, isn't it, Greener? Like, I forget who I was talking to the other day. Genuinely forget now. I wish I could remember. But we both agreed that I'm saying the top five because at the moment, you know, I'm kind of speculating the top five might be Sheffield, Nottingham. This in no particular order, so let's change that around. Nottingham, Sheffield, Cardiff, Belfast and Glasgow. There'll be teams like Guildford and Fife and so on who'll have something to say about that. But if my hunch is right and that those five teams make up the top five, they'll be taking points off each other every night. But at the same time, those teams lower in the league who are also improving will be nicking points off them too.
Yeah, I think it'll be very much like last season in terms of the parity. I certainly don't think there's going to be a team like Sheffield that were obviously, you know, miles ahead by kind of February. I think if you took Sheffield out of the league last year, the rest of it was really, really super close. Exactly that. I think, you know, we're going to be much improved. I think we're going to be really good, super competitive. It looks on paper again, you know, like we have a really good team, but so do a lot of other teams. You know, someone like Guildford, who are good, and they've added Wolichka and Josh Waller and Kugler and people like that. You know, Guildford's a tough place to go and get points. You know, Dundee adding a Ben O'Connor and a couple of other pieces. It's going to be, you know, you're going to go into Dundee and lose. You're going to go into Guildford and lose. It's going to be, you know, for everybody a tough grind. But yeah, I mean, I would agree personally. I think we're aiming for, you know, I don't really want to say what would be a successful season, but maybe if we get one of the three trophies and we're back in the top four, you know, from last year, I think that's a pretty good stepping stone. I'm sure some people will want higher than that, but I think if we're around Cardiff and Belfast come March, we're going to be in a really good position. But obviously winning a trophy would be great as well. But I just think exciting hockey, you know, whether we're winning or losing, close games, competitive, physical games, and I think everybody will be pretty happy.
Brilliant. And finally, Ken, I said I'd mention this. We haven't got long, but we announced your return which got a fabulous response, one of the best of the season, and deservedly so. But we've also announced that we're adding Sam Hurst to the match night presentation team. You two will have some exciting things lined up. And another announcement that we've just put out there as well is that the pre-game show will start in Encore each game, 2 hours before face-off, where there'll be a combination of competitions, interviews, some of the podcast team. It will vary each week, but some of us will be there. Basically, a live show for 45 minutes ahead of face-off and ahead of the game getting underway. As I say, 2 hours before the game each week in Encore. A wide variety of topics.
Is it Encore, or is it? I thought it was Saltbox.
Did I say Encore? Well done. Good spot. Saltbox. Well done. Glad you're there to correct me, teacher. Yeah, 2 hours ahead in Saltbox. Let's be clear about that. Not Encore. Getting my arena venues confused for a moment. But yeah, Ken in a nutshell. That's exciting. But I think I'm more want to hear about how excited you are to be, if anyone watched you again, and I'm taking a bit of your time here, you've got about just over a minute, anyone watched you with GB, and that's how things are going to shape up a bit this coming season, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm really excited to get the opportunity to work with Sam. She's really, really experienced. She's done a lot of work with Nottingham Forest, worked with the 100, worked with obviously down at the cricket with the with the team down there at Trent Bridge, and an accomplished presenter who will give us a dimension that we, like at the Worlds where I was working with Dan, we'll have that dimension to be able to go out into the audience and to just, on those bits where it's just not possible for me to be in two places at once, Sam's going to be able to bring that energy to other parts of the arena. And to get the opportunity to have some fresh ideas as well, and to be working alongside somebody as talented as Sam is, I'm just really excited about it, because there's only so much you can kind of do as one person. You need to kind of take it to that next level, and I think that's what we're going to be able to do. So yeah, really excited.
Brilliant, Ken. Really excited about the additions. And Sam, as you say, Sam Hurst will be a fabulous addition to the match night presentation team. Thanks a lot, guys. Going to have to leave it there. Thanks very much. Look out for us in the post-game podcast and in the stuff in Saltbox ahead of the game. But it's goodbye for now.